Yo, first Friday of May coming in hot, which means the first Saturday of May is coming. Everyone's excited. Today, we're talking about Rivian getting normal, indie service creeping on franchise service, and food junk fees. Junk fees. We know
who
what those
knew?
Are.
They're coming after everybody, Paul.
Everybody out here coming after everybody. I saw a post yesterday, and this isn't one of the stories today, but something about like the CARS rule estimated implementation is like 60 days away or something. Like,
wait,
I don't
what?
Know. Something like that. I can't remember. I have to.
That must have been the original one because, yeah, it was like July 1.
Okay. I have to figure it was like a reliable source. It wasn't like a no name, whatever it was, but it was just a post on LinkedIn. You know how it goes.
Yeah, it's just a post on LinkedIn.
Good morning to everybody. Adrian Gibbs is on the live stream this morning, and she is going
if you don't follow Adrian Gibbs on LinkedIn, you are doing yourself a disservice.
You're missing out.
Her meme game is
on fire.
It is the chef's kiss. It is sublime.
And she is going to be at Asotocon this year. We are so excited to be with her at Asotocon and so many of you, hundreds of you, actually.
Yes.
Tickets keep coming in. The hotels all over now are starting to book, right? It's not just the event hotel. The other hotels, speakers are excited. They're sending us videos. I saw a couple more dealers buy tickets yesterday who I know, and I've been wanting to meet them in person. And now I'm going to get to meet them in person. They don't know I know. Maybe they know I know, and they assume we know who buys tickets. But I was so excited. Look, go to Asotocon.com and check out everything that's going on. Special thanks to our presenting sponsors, Goobagoo, Reynolds & Reynolds, for helping us put this thing on. Also, our other sponsors, industry partners, collaborators, we like to call them, are ready to contribute, right? They're not going ready to hound you. They're going to be in the panel conversations and listen and come up with new solutions, because Asotocon is a place actually where industry partners get together and come up with new solutions to serve the dealers in the
exactly
industry.
It.
Like, what else could we ask for? I don't know. A swimming pool.
Well, did you
There's
know,
no swimming
did
pool
you
there.
Know that on the Effective podcast stage this year, that's right in the middle of the conversation hall.
Yeah.
Did you know that there's over, I think it's over 30 conversations
no
that are going to be happening?
Wow, we only had like 18 last year, 19.
No, 27 or something like that, 28. It's going to be
That's a whole other stage this year.
Conversations. It's wild.
That's a whole other stage. Like last year, it was more of like a secluded, it wasn't secluded, but you know, it just wasn't set up to be a stage. We got it. It's going to be a stage this year. So, and those are some of my, both of ours, we've said, some of our favorite conversations coming
out. It's like one of the few podcasts that I actually listen to during a year.
No, absolutely. I go back and for the next like 30 days after Asotocon, I'm at least listening to one of those a day. Cause we have a bunch of different hosts. The conversation is like a little more free form. It's great. All right.
Let's get into it, Paul.
I know.
Let's
we got to talk because we're going over to All Things Used Cars Clubhouse Room as soon as we're done here in than 12 and a half minutes. So as Tesla is cutting jobs, EV startup competitor Rivian is set to expand its Normal, Illinois plant, adding 500 jobs to produce the new R2 crossover. It's like the small SUV, leveraging a significant $827 million incentive package they just got from the state of Illinois. It's not a cash infusion, but it does include $75 million from a deal closing fund and $634 million in tax incentives over 30 years with a commitment to maintain, Rivian's commitment to maintain at least 6,000 jobs there. It diverts from their initial plan to actually build in Georgia. Instead, they're putting more into consolidating their plant in Illinois. And, you know, the company adds they've invested $2 billion in Normal, Illinois, which has generated $3.9 billion of value add for the local economy. CEO RJ Scaringe said Governor Pritzker has always been a strong advocate for providing economic opportunities for Illinois residents and business owners alike.
There's three things that really surprised me about this story. One, the fact that this story got you to say Normal more than three times.
I've never
within
said it
like
so
a
many
2 minute
times.
Period.
Where do you live? Normal. Fun. I live in Normal.
Normal.
No
just
one
normal.
Says nobody ever.
The second one is, I just remember back to all the conversation that we were having about, you know, Georgia and whether or not Georgia was going to kind of let Rivian in. And if I'm Georgia right now, I'm looking at this and expanded interest and continue to press in into the local economy of Illinois and going, totally missed out. The other piece of this, and this is kind of the, you know, the rub right at the beginning of the story that I think is important to note, is that Rivian is expanding. They're adding jobs. Mm-hmm. You know, they've kind of been honestly in the news radar over the last, we'll call it year, except for the release of the R2 crossover, kind of the little, you know, sleeping giant, you know, just consistently growing, you know, maintaining enough ground stock to where people can get them quickly. And you just like, I know a few people with Rivians in the Nashville area. They absolutely love them. They're obsessed with the quality, obsessed with the drive style, all of that stuff. So like that one's going to be, I have a feeling about Rivian. Well,
they still have to figure out, how to be profitable. They've put a lot of their eggs in the R2. And the other one was the R1? No, the R3? The other one, the small one that they surprised everybody when they revealed?
Yeah, the R3, yeah.
However, they're doing a great job with the brand overall. They have now really established a loyal customer base who understands what it is to drive a Rivian. It's about adventure. It's kind of like if Tesla was a Jeep, you know what I mean? And they've kind of like positioned Rivian that way. Seem like they're doing okay with quality. It's, can they be profitable enough? Because they're still burning a ton of cash. Right.
So yeah, they're not there. I mean, yet. They have the same question that Carvana had like 5 months ago.
Oh my gosh. And we almost talked about that. Carvana's Ernie Garcia and dad like up their wealth by $11 billion yesterday because of the stock jump. I know, but yeah, I would definitely not count them out. After the I would never look at a Rivian. But like now it's like looking at the truck, be like, oh, this seems like a nice vehicle. You know, it seemed like the one with the weird headlights, but now it's like, actually, maybe. And I saw a post yesterday. It was like Tesla's social media or Tesla in the news. And then it was, meanwhile, Rivian had like posted a picture of the R1 pickup. And it was like the frunk was like loaded with puppies. I was like,
I saw that. Yeah. Oh, I saw that picture. Oh, it was genius.
Their brand team is on point. And, yes, you know, I don't think Tesla has a brand team anymore. They've just. You know, it's Elon Musk.
They fired all of them.
Elon Musk
is the brand team. Brand team, the whole nine yards.
Speaking of brand teams.
Segway.
Let's talk about franchise service and independence. J.D. Power's recent 2024 study highlights aftermarket service stations gaining on franchise dealership service departments in a customer satisfaction, in the area of customer satisfaction, being driven by easier access and quicker service. Here's a quote from Leonard Martin from J.D. Power. He says, this is a key opportunity for aftermarket providers not only to compete with franchise dealers on price, but also to add customer value with quicker and easier service experience. So it's heating up. Younger customers, particularly Gen Z, report lower satisfaction levels with aftermarket services, though. J.D. Power suggests enhancing service advisor interaction. So basically saying that, hey, the better service advisor interaction you have, the higher service score is going to go, especially with Gen Z. They also went on to say, and this is, I think, a real important point, providing photo or video documentation of recommended repairs significantly increases customer approval of the work. Get this, 51% of customers who receive such documentation go on and proceed with suggested repairs, while only 24% who do not. That is more than a 100% increase if you're trying to pay attention.
I can vouch for this like real time impact. It is without a doubt the highest value impact to everything when it comes to customer service, when it comes to dollars per RO, when it comes to approved lines per recommended lines. Like that as a customer service piece is also something that a lot of the independent shops are not leveraging in their technology. So franchise has an opportunity to get back ahead as they're losing because of convenience and access, right?
Yeah, and we see the best dealers, or not the best dealers, but the ones who are paying attention, like quick service is important. And it takes a heavy lift to convince people you can get in and out of a franchise dealership. Right?
Yes.
It's a heavy lift because the perception.
Just the conversation alone.
And it's buried. Like, you just think from a physical location standpoint. You see a Jiffy Lube. Here's the road. Here's the entrance. There's the service bay. franchise dealership. Here's the road that goes in. It's way back there somewhere in the midst of all this.
I mean, you've heard me talking about for years and years the fact that I believe that OEMs need to do a lot better job at standing up quick service locations with their franchise dealers across the city. Gosh. You know, when you have, two Mazda dealerships, one Audi dealership, two Lexus dealerships, you know, a couple Chevy dealerships. And if you're not like in a major metro, like a Chicago, the access for the regular user on there every day is just not possible. So standing up these micro shops is just a necessity to compete.
I'm thinking of Ford particularly and the opportunity to put up a retail gas station size plot, have some superchargers, have some quick service.
Oh, my goodness.
And have some coffee.
I just don't understand why it isn't. Franchise network.
I know. You already have it plug and play.
They already know how to run service.
Build a little box that you can put on a piece of real estate and you know
you're going to have people speed to get that. Oh, great. We're going to go ahead and take care of your thing. We've got a couple loaners outside. We're going to take it back to the main shop because we can't handle that here. Like, boom. Customer service done.
By the way, this is what your car's worth. However, franchise dealerships were rated as more trustworthy in areas because they used more technology to enhance the efficiency repair. So franchise dealership trust in the service department is higher than independent trust. And if you've been to some independent service centers, like, it's kind of understandable. Speaking of things that are a little dicey.
Stop. Segway.
Time. You didn't even see that one coming until I said
it. I didn't. Dicey food. You get it.
On your boy's birthday, July 1st, California is going to mandate the elimination of unexpected charges. We've never heard that before.
Yeah.
On not something that you would have expected, on restaurant bills. Mm. The plan excludes taxes and requires full disclosure of any fees in advertisements or menus. So obviously, the opinions of many people are quite mixed, with some appreciating the potential for a simplified billing process, while other people are worried about significant price increases due to the adjustments with the new law. Basically, the law aims to get rid of the service charges that at some restaurants, especially like in San Francisco and the big cities, can be as high as 20% of the overall bill, between like assessed tips or service charges or delivery fees or anything that is not baked into the price of the item. This is food expert Marcia Gagliardi.
Dude, that was great. You killed
Gagliardi. There you go. I was close. This is just a great quote. Just when you thought your pork chop was already really expensive, guess what? We're going to be seeing higher prices because there's nowhere else these restaurants can put these fees and higher wages in order to maintain these employees.
There you go. I mean, the lesson here is like everything's got to be paid for. And
that's right.
The consumer wants to know what it is they're paying for when they buy it. They don't want line after line after line of surprise after surprise after surprise, especially in an industry like this, right? It's a service fee. It's like, paying for service is a part of your overhead, which should be baked in the price of your product.
Yeah, what would you rather pay the higher price, see inflation hit the prices? Absolutely, same thing. Just change the price of the thing.
Yeah, but the flip side is that I would rather that, but I would not be the person that's trying to factor in plus when I decide whether or not to buy a thing. So, right. I mean, from like a business standpoint, the consumer might be upset about it, but most of them probably won't be when the higher prices of the items would probably be talked about. But I mean, realistically, how much higher are we talking? If you're buying an expensive pork chop and say you're spending $40 for a pork chop, and that $41 turns into $44.25, are you not going to get it? Be like, this place is an outrage. Get out of here.
Not blinking. No. But if it gets added afterwards, you're blinking.
You're like, man, bad taste in your mouth, which is not what you want when you're eating
food. Not sure if you recognize this, but there's some relationship to our good automotive industry and the way that consumers feel about the prices that they're looking at.
Yeah, and the relationship between our industry and their love for a big slab of high-quality meat. I've had more steaks in this business, I think, than any other business besides the beef business. We hope you have an amazing weekend. We'll see you tomorrow morning for the Saturday episode. In the meantime, check out asoducon.com.